You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boydells. This week's rugby story is that of a St Helens lad who started his playing days in rugby league, but really flourished in rugby union. Had spells with Blackburn Royals, Thistleleaf when they were St Helens Crusaders, West Park, Fylde, Caldy, Moseley, Nottingham, Oro, Sale Sharks, Sedley Park, whilst also representing Lancashire, England Counties and the Barbarians. He cracked the coaching scene as well with spells at England Counties, Lancashire, Fylde and currently Preston, though he has announced he's leaving at the end of the season. A great fella and a doting dad, ladies and gents, Mr Paul Arnold. For all the latest regarding Trot the Egging, please add John Hetherington on Facebook, at John Heth, H-E-T-H on Twitter, at Trot the Egging on Twitter, and trot_the_egg_in on Instagram. Right, mate. So before we get stuck into your story, and how are you and the family doing?
Yeah, we're all good, thanks, mate. Yeah, we're all good little lads downstairs in bed. We've got the other two upstairs, and they're doing something else. Right. Downstairs watching TV, so standard kind of it's a rugby training night, doesn't it? So I can get out of sitting there watching rubbish TV.
Right. So where was home? Where was home for you, and who did you grow up with?
St Helens, mate. So St Helens lad, living with my mum and my dad. My mum and dad split up when I was about 17, but living there with my sister. Started off in Sunny Par.
Yeah.
And then moved over to Sutton when I was about 10.
Hey, some good product come from the par, mate, don't it?
Yeah, mate, there was. Yeah, we had good teams.
Yeah, so where does that competitive edge come from then, mate, if it's just you and your sister?
Yes, I suppose we had a competitive edge with her sister as well. She's probably still doing now to her fact. She's about 6'1" as well.
So, right. On.
So there's a big side. Yeah, my dad played for Thistleleaf.
Right.
In the 80s and 90s. So he had me when he was like 20.
Yeah.
So when he was still 30 playing, I was a 10-year-old watching Thistleleaf everywhere and following them. And he was a good player. He had quite a few offers to go pro, but back then in the 80s, he was working down the mines and he had two kids by the time he was 22 and making more money down the pit than going to, I think, Warrington and Widnes and a few others came in for him. Right, he was a good amateur player.
Yeah, madness that, innit? So where was you introduced to rugby and how did it come about?
So, yes, obviously because my dad played, I ended up going down to Blackbrook when I was about 6.
Yeah.
And I started off there playing at Blackbrook and I had a few years at St. Helens Crusaders as well.
Right.
So
that's Thistleweath for people that don't know, mate, innit?
It's Thistleweath now, Thistleweath Crusaders now, So it was St. Helens Crusaders then. Thistleweath didn't have much of a junior setup back then.
Right. So how long did you play rugby league for, mate? Did you manage to do the town team stuff and that?
Yeah, so I played like Northwest Counties, I think, when I was under 13s, and I played the town teams for under 11s, under 13s. And then I stopped then. I was probably more of a late developer, mate. I was one of these kids who was probably really good from the age of like 7 to 13, and then I was pretty shit. If I'm totally honest. And I kind of gave up for a few years.
Okay.
I think I was I'm 6'7".
Yeah.
So I think at the time I was the big kid who they give the ball to, and I played like that. And I think when I got to about 12, 13, I was just like the normal size to everyone.
Yeah.
I think your confidence gets shot even at that young age and
kind
of just fell out of love. I think I remember playing over at Crusaders and getting like 5 minutes off the bench here and there. And I was thinking, this is pretty rubbish, this. So I ended up packing in for a few years. And then when I was about 16, a friend of mine, Liam McLaughlin, who was playing at West Park.
Yeah.
He said to me, why don't you come down to West Park? So I went playing Union, then joined the dark side.
Right.
And then never really looked back then. But like, them junior years were great. The town teams we were in was like Paul Welland, Scott Barra, all these lads. And they were good times.
Yeah. So going back a little bit, mate. So what high school did you go in? Was that when Union first entered your life?
I went to Sutton High School and we didn't play any rugby. The teachers was like footballers. We managed to get a rugby league against a few cup games when we were about 13, 14. And I'll never forget because he was the wagman, the truant officer, Dennis Glynn. And I ended up playing with his son Chris Glynn for quite a few years at West Park and at Sedgley Park. Yeah. But Dennis was the wagman, and we had no rugby teachers. He said, "I'll help coach the rugby team." Right. I remember falling out with him when I was about 14 because he was trying to teach us rugby union, and we were playing Oldham St Anne's or something like that. I was going, "This is rubbish. You don't know what you're talking about." And he always tells me, "Yeah, I always said to you, he's the one who then eventually was going, you'd be better at union. You should go to West Park." And right. when I turned up there a few years later, he was there.
Yeah,
and I said he got me to union, but he never caught me wagging school. So that was the bonus.
Yeah.
That was the bonus that he never did that. And I'm still good mates with his son now. We speak quite a lot. Yeah, it's good.
Class. So how was the club rugby compared to, well, like you said, you only played a few games, but was your standard good, mate?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. We had a lot of talented lads, but like we only had about three or four of us who actually played rugby. The rest of them were footballers. And it used to be mad because my dad used to coach the rugby team for us on a Sunday morning. So he used to get all these hard knocks turning up at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning to be taught over sort of nice school. And we had like a few games then.
Yeah.
I always remember you'd end up throwing the odd swear word out, and then my dad would give me a telling off for swearing. And all the lads would laugh at me. Because, like I say, I would have probably been 13 then. My dad would have been like 33, wouldn't he? So it wasn't. So yeah, it was good. So we tried it for a bit, and we had quite a few. I bet we only had about 10 school games of that.
Yeah.
Over them years, but yeah, they were good times. They were good fun. And I think that's when I was playing at Blackbrook and stuff like that. I probably got to that age of 13 where I wasn't probably the better player. So going back in school, I was still the better player.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed it a bit more.
Yeah.
Doing that.
So was that a bit of a confidence boost for you then?
Yeah, I think it was, and I think that's what probably helped me kick on and go, do you know what? Because I'd always done rugby. I love rugby. I watch it. I'm a bit of a rugby pig. I watch it all the time. So I think having that made me want to go back. And like I said, I started college when I was about 16, and one of the lads was there. I was like, yeah, I'll go down to West Park. Right. And then it coincided with that. That's when I probably had my growth spurt and everything else, and then suddenly your confidence comes.
Comes back.
So I've always been a big advocate of these lads who get binned off when they're younger from the academies and different things, when actually they might not have ever had a chance properly. And you get different late bloomers.
No, that's it, mate, isn't it? And like, especially at the Wids, mate, we get like quite a lot of lads that will fall out the academy and have a flirt with us.
Yeah.
And then they'll do like, you've probably come across it yourself, so because we're winter rugby still. So they'll go winter with us. And then they decide who the preference is. So if rugby league's the preference, mate, they'll cross over and miss the last month and a half.
Yeah.
Do the full summer and then come back. So everyone needs that game time, mate, innit? And
yeah, well, I've at Preston, where I'm coaching, we've got quite a lot of lads who played at Wigan St. Pat's.
Right.
And they come over with me about 4 years ago. A few of them come at Fylde when I was coaching at Fylde.
Yeah.
And they come to Preston. And a few of them ended up stopping with the league.
Right,
ended up enjoying the union more, maybe because they got a few quid to play as well.
Don't get me wrong, that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does help. Yeah, so yeah. Like I think a few of them did it. It's like a winger called Tyler Spence, who's a player. He did it. I think he did back to back for a few seasons.
Right,
and then I think he just got to right. I'm just going to play union. Yeah.
And when you first started playing union, mate, how did you get to grips with the nitty gritty in the dark arts? The back tens, the killer in rugby league, innit? But other than that, if you're a big, strong lad, it tends to be big lad against big lad. No offence to people, innit?
I think I'm always... God, I'm still in the same my WhatsApp group with my mates from school, and they'll never give you any recognition for doing anything in the union. They still say to me, all you did is play that shit kick and clap. But I think if you understand the game, it always kind of, it's one of them that winds me up with, you've got league fans and union fans, and union embrace a lot of rugby league. They embrace the attack coaches, the defence coaches, they bring it in, but the union league size, it's just still that working mentality of no, we're not taking anything in. But there's a lot to learn from both codes, and I think the fitness side of it always makes me laugh when you see, I told you made 12 tackles, and you get some ex-pro jump on and go, yeah, well, I made 46 at the weekend, but I told you also at 28 rooks, which is as good as making a tackle. So unless you know the intricates of it, do you know what I mean? It can be cross, but I think it's a different kind of fitness than getting back 10. And taking it up, but because I went watching live the other week. I've been to Saints because I'm only half a mile from Saints' ground.
Oh,
So okay. I've been walking down on a Friday night with my mates, have a few beers and watching. Yeah. I can't believe how much walking they do, though, some of the players. They take a carry, don't they? And then it's a good walk, but get your breath back. So it's all, your cameras don't really see that because they're not even in play.
Until
I was watching it live, I think it was Morgan Knowles, who I think is probably one of the best players in Super League at the minute. Yeah. And he made a great carry, and then it was a kick chase, and then he just walked for 2 minutes to get back. Yeah. And I was going, why is he walking? Obviously, you don't pick that up. That's them getting the breath, isn't it? And
that's it.
There's so much. It's a different kind of fitness, just getting up, getting your body off the floor and getting to the next ruck. And it might not be quite as fast-paced the different fitnesses.
No, it is, mate. And especially, I think yourself, you'll know as well, as I shouldn't have been a back rower, really. The lads will ridicule me now. I didn't want to play it, mate, but in the back row, your effort is to get back and out your back three out.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I was playing front row, playing rugby league, and I was getting back because I can't switch that off, and then realising not everyone else is getting back. It's a surprise, isn't it? But
it is. I remember I played for Sale Sharks against Saints in the half game.
Right.
When they did half league, half union.
Yeah.
I think it's 20 odd years ago now. that's how long that game is, 20 years ago. I remember being absolutely knackered doing the league half.
Yeah.
It was just, because I think when the ball's on, say, the right-hand side of the pitch, and you're still on the left, but you're still sprinting up, and it's trying to conserve that energy when you've not played. Yeah, I remember absolutely trying to impress all my mates in the crowd because I was playing against Saints. I just remember being absolutely knackered. I played about 45 minutes. But I always remember that as a good memory. And probably I played, and then the last time I played was I played in the Help for Heroes.
Yeah.
No, they played, again, it was half league, half union. And you had Wayne Godwin, Keith Senior, Martin Gleeson, all these guys playing. And I remember being knackered then. Getting back 10. I was all right. I was always in the back of a driving line. Getting back 10, I was it's a different type of fitness.
No, it is, mate. It is. And even upstairs, it's a different reading of the game as well.
Yeah.
So going back as a kid then, mate, and you're coming to the back end of school, what's an option for you? So is education something you're keen to stay in, or were there offers there from places?
No, like I said, the rugby then probably wasn't. I just started again at West Park and stuff, and I remember going to college. I went and did welding and fabrication at college with a friend, and then I went to West Park, and I just remember seeing them getting paid a few quid, and that's when I probably thought, you know what, my confidence was getting better. I was doing all right. Probably I finished school with my GCSEs, but I was no rocket science going. Do you know what I mean? I always wanted to do something with my hands. And that's when I probably started knuckling down then, thinking, oh, actually, I could make a career out of rugby.
Right.
And I started training harder then, going to the gym, making sure I was doing stuff. I worked extra hard with my dad, doing extra training sessions. And kind of progressed that way into it. And I think when I was 18, 19, and Sedgley Park come knocking. I'll never forget going to West Park and old guy John Gilman, rest his soul. I went and told him, I said, Sedgley Park have said to me, if I do two training sessions, they give me £35 a week. And if I play on a Saturday, they give me 100 quid. I said, if you give me 30 quid, I'll stay. He said, there's not a chance we're going to give you 30 quid. Your best ball's off to Sedgley Park. And I did. So really, I've got Gilman to thank for it, because I probably would have stayed at West Park thinking I was getting 30 quid a game off West Park, thinking this is amazing. In 1997, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's mad, isn't it, mate? So what did West Park teach you in the men's game? Because it's from Colts to men's is totally different, innit?
Yeah. So we had a really good Colts side. Wellens was there as well. So Wellens hadn't been picked up by Saints. He was one of the others who had it. So Wellens was playing. We had, we had a really good side. Steve Breers, who's good, not gone on, played Flankshire, good level, played with him at Fylde. We had a real good Paul Bailey as well, who played England 18s, but he was still at West Park at the time and had a good career. We had a really good Colts side. And we really enjoyed it. And then on a Saturday, we were playing for the second team, which I think teaches you so much. I remember being in one of my first games, probably against Witness Seconds or something like that. And I just remember getting just a massive fight kicking off. Yeah. Just kind of stood there with my blinkers on just getting whacked at the side of the head, and then just following it back with throwing a few more, thinking, oh, it's all right, this. It's not too bad. But it does it just that step up, and I think a lot more lads need to, which I know they've brought in the rule that you have to be 18 now to train and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of the school of hard knocks when you were playing against some good old heads in the West Park side.
And then
like Tuesday night training sessions would just be full biff, wouldn't it? First team versus second team, knocking it out of each other on driving line outs and stuff. And it kind of really toughened you up and taught you a lot.
One of the things that I like about the rugby union as well, I don't know if West Park done it in the clubs you've been at, which we'll touch on, but knowing the team in the week. So, you know, like you don't rock up on a Saturday, like rugby league do it a lot, don't they? Until you're like at midday.
Well, I find it crazy when I was watching that. Was it the class of 92? And the footballers, they just get told like an hour before kickoff what the team is. And you wonder why some of them had won. West Park used to have an old board with your names on.
Yeah.
And you'd go in the physio room and you'd see what team you was in.
Right.
And then what you'd find some lads would probably be dropped from the... I was on about this the other week when I was talking to someone. Some lads would get dropped from the first team and be in the second team, but they won't want to. You don't want to play that, so they go to the third team. They'd move themselves about. it's just quite funny. You're like, you're looking back at it. But yeah, so you do that. And as a coach, I've always been one for, I always pick the team on a Wednesday. We probably put it out, but I'll make sure all the lads, I'll let them know if they're not in the squad.
Yeah.
And make sure they know. Yeah, we try and get to a few times if you're waiting on injuries and stuff like that, you'll tell them the squad will be announced after training on Thursday, but normally try and always organise it so the lads know.
And how was it as a player, mate? Did you want someone to be direct with you like it sounds like you are?
Yeah, I think it's a hard thing. I had Justin Harris coaching with me at Preston when I started, and I always remember him saying to me, yeah, every player wants honesty until you're honest. and it's very true. I think when I first started coaching, I said, I'm not going to be one of them bullshitters. I'm going to tell these lads the reasons why. And I remember speaking to a lot of coaches about how they did it. I think when you do your coaching badges, the man management style is one thing that they don't really teach you.
Yeah.
And it's, they can teach you about everything else, but man management and how you handle players was something that I had to come to grips with pretty quick. I think my first coaching job, I took over as the head coach, but I was still playing. Right. So I've been there for, I ended up doing 7 years. So I think I've been playing for about 4 years, and then I took over as head coach. So suddenly I've got all my best friends here who I've played with for years. And then I'll tell them, you're not playing Saturday because you're not playing good enough. Mm. So then players take it personal.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're trying to explain to them as a coach, everything you do as a coach is for the best of the team on a Saturday and to get results. It's not because I just don't like you as a person, or there'll be a reason behind something. So you might have done this wrong in the game, or I want you to work on this, or it could be you've got somebody coming back and I'm just like, hey, look, I just think he's playing better.
Yeah.
But as long as you're honest with him, I find that should help, but sometimes it still doesn't help. I think I had a guy called James Wade. I don't know if Matt Riley spoke about him. He was like the academy guy at Sale Sharks.
Okay.
And he's the one who had to kind of release all the players if they weren't getting kept on.
Lovely job.
Yeah, so no one liked him. He was the academy coach, but no one liked him because they were like, he's fucked me off. And I had him for as my mentor on my level 3 coaching award. And he was brilliant. He was just top bloke. But I remember speaking to him about that and he said, I had to release 40 lads a year. He said, no one like me. So you're on about man-managing players now. How do you think I did it back then?
Yeah.
He said, at that age, he's releasing sometimes 16, 17, 18-year-olds who haven't actually experienced the world or rugby and being disappointed. So suddenly they just think, well, he's a bastard for life kind of thing. Excuse me, friend, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until you actually end up in that situation and you're coaching, you've got to work things out. It's kind of tough.
Not that you're lucky, because obviously you've earned the right to be at them clubs you've been at, but the clubs you've been at are in a good enough position to say an 18-year-old does get released.
Yeah.
Not pop up, but you can clean that up, can't you?
Because
I imagine a few years ago, I know it's a bit better now, but some of them like 17 to 20-year-olds won't have played a lot of club rugby because they were fully invested in this opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's what I mean. I think even going back to the rugby league, I think when I talked about when I played at Blackbrook, I think out of the Blackbrook side, there was about 18 lads who signed professional contracts.
Yeah.
And there was about five of us who didn't. But like out of them 18 lads, there was only probably two or three who played in the end, because the rest of them got released when they were 17, 18, and there were some good players.
Yeah.
And they just never played again. Mm. You know what I mean? There should be something there, in, I think, in both codes where you've got that safety net of actually bringing them back into a senior setup.
Yeah,
And I think that's where union works. Union works well with, you've got the Colts and stuff where you can then shake them. You can start building them into a second team and a third team and stuff like that. And I think sometimes like other sports can learn from that as well. So make sure you're trying to keep them in the game as much as they can.
That's it, mate. And they have to play half a game now, I believe, in the Colts.
Yeah, well, I worked up until COVID. Now I worked for the RFU for about just short of 9-10 years.
Yeah,
and that was our main game, going around clubs and speaking to coaches about developing these lads and giving them game time. And I'd use myself as an example. They'd have like a Lancashire Cup semi-final and they'd be like, oh yeah, we're just going to take this Burr 15 because the rest of our squad aren't good enough. And you'd be like, but in 5 years' time, you might be your best player, or he might be your club treasurer, or he might be working in the canteen. And they're some of your best players. But like, if you're not giving them a chance and they fall out of the love with the game, which is what I did when I was 13, 14, I just stopped playing.
Yeah.
Like, then you're going to lose these stalwarts of your club kind of thing. Like, you don't even realise. So it's trying to get that junior set up with all levels and aspects to make sure that everyone's getting a fair crack. And sometimes, everyone loves winning. Yeah, no, but I'm not saying that that's not important. But sometimes at under 12s winning.
Yeah.
The big scheme of things, it's not going to upset you if you lose the odd game.
No. So the failed move comes about, mate. And what I've never had to move about, to be honest. So what happens on the scene? Because you're semi-pro, mate. There's no doubt in that. And there's a few quid there. How does that come about? The clubs get in touch with you via you?
Yeah. So I started off. I had quite a few. I started off at Sedgley Park and then I went to Sale Sharks.
Right.
I basically went back on loan to Sedgley, a bit like what Riles did when he was playing. And then when Sale didn't want me, Sedgley got promoted then to what was the Championship. Beyond that, was one week. I played for 4 years at Sedgley. We had two promotions up to the Championship. And when Sale released me, I'd kind of decided, I thought, I've learnt enough here, as much as I can. So I went to Oral down the road. And that was a different one. For me,
from punching people to learning again.
Yeah. Well, that was my story in the rugby paper. Yeah. And that was good. But when you talk about it, like becoming a man, I had Tim Faree there, who basically gave me the chance to take the part.
Yeah.
And they had some big, big second roles and big names when I was 19 coming through. Right. And I managed to get them into the side. And basically, they kind of got released and stopped. So they were getting on. But there's a big Romanian international, Christian Radicanu, who was absolute nails. Andy Kimmins, who was an old legend as well. So I was like a young lad coming in there. So them two, they both taught me a lot. And I had the year learning my craft in the second team and dipping in and out of the first team. And then when I got my chance, I played every game from that the following season and went on. And that's when I got picked up. But yeah, they're the days in trying to learn your trade at that level. It was a lot different back then.
Yeah.
You can get away with it. You get away with a lot more back then.
Yeah. So how was that step from West Park to File to Sedge to Sale? Are you feeling different levels all the time, or
definitely. I remember joining when I went to Sedgley, and that was just when Sedgley was just starting to come into their own, and they had a few quid knocking about. And we had Carlos Hassan and John Scales in the centres, the two Bradford Bulls guys. I remember watching John Scales score against Saints in the 96 Challenge Cup final. So I was a bit like, wow, this is brilliant. Yeah, and the levels then nipped on. And we talk now about training and going away and stuff like that. The lads then was only on, they got paid, some of them would have been on retainers, but as a young lad coming in, you weren't a lot. But you train 3 nights a week, you train a Saturday morning. You know what I mean? You had to put in the time because you were, like you say, you wasn't quite full time.
Yeah.
But and then I got the move to Sale after that, where you was kind of full time. It's different. So, but you've got to kind of put them hard yards in when you were younger. And I think a lot of I get frustrated with some of the youngsters today. I don't think they understand. I think they'd be like, oh, I'm going out with my girlfriend tonight for it's her birthday. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I was like, I've talked to Lie now. I said, just don't tell me the truth. Just tell me you're ill. don't be honest and tell me you're going out with your girlfriend for a meal, missing training. I said, it's just like a different era now.
It's changed, Danny. It has changed. So when you're mixing it with the characters you're saying you're mixing it with, mate, are you also like nitpicking at what things they do to for the little fine margins? Because all of this, you're building your education up to be potentially the best coach you can be when you've stopped playing, without knowing probably as well, haven't you? And
yeah, I was always a thinker. I think playing rugby league helped with that. So I wasn't your typical second row who was just hitting every ruck and just winning lineouts. I was kind of stood out a lot more and offloading and ball handling and getting involved that way, which a lot of people told me afterwards, you never hit a ruck, so why are you bothered? And I think that made me think a lot more about the game, coming from a league background and how you can manipulate defences. And luckily, the teams that I played at, that's probably why I never played Premiership, because they didn't want a second row like that. They wanted somebody who just hit that. But I was lucky that the teams that I went into, they were quite happy and they knew my skill set and put me out. And when I was at the end, well, when I was 30 odd, and I'd kind of give up a bit on the full time dream. I'd had the kids and stuff, and moving back home to St Helens. That's when I ended up going to Fylde, and that's when they had Brian Ashton there, and his way of coaching just blew my mind, and that's then really got the appetite going for the coaching, listening to. He coaches Lancashire as well, and he's looked after me a long time now. He coached me when I was at Oral when we were younger. Right. So having them two there coaching, and Brian's philosophy, he was way above everyone else how he thought and trained, and that really whet my appetite for it to get into the coaching. And I started, that's when I properly wanted to be a coach then.
Okay, mate. So talk us through some of your sedge memories then, mate, before we get carried on with your coaching.
Yeah, go on. I keep jumping back and forth.
That's what the chat's about, though, isn't it? It's just how it flows, mate.
Yes, essentially it was great, mate. We won a couple of Lancashire Cups. We had two promotions as well. We won the Nat 3 North, it was at the time, and then we won National 2. And then they went into the Championship then.
Right.
So they changed. But there were some real good players and some good memories. And like I talked about before, my old wagman, Dennis, his lad Chris played at Sedgley. Yeah. So we went through the memories together there. Dave McCormack, who was a St. Helens lad as well. He had a little spell at Saints, but he was a West Park lad. He was at Sedgley as well. Right. So we had like a little St. Helens car. We were up and back from training, and it was good times.
So how were them big games, mate? What sort are you... How do you deal with the big occasion? Are you a nervous player or are you pretty cool?
I think even up until I retired, I used to always go on with the confidence. And I remember playing against... So you'd rock up as a youngster and they'd be like, oh, I remember Dave Baldwin, the ex-Sale second row, and coach me at Lancashire Day. I remember playing against him when he was finishing. Yeah. And they're going to me, oh, you're playing against Dave Baldwin today. And I was just that cocky as a kid. I wasn't that bothered. I was like, oh, he's going to know he's played against me by the end of it. And I kind of had that attitude as a kid.
It's a good one, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I'd walk onto the pitch. You get the odd butterflies. But I was always kind of, super confident. And probably it's that fine line that I set to my players all the time. You're confident and arrogant. You're just on the line, aren't you? Without pushing it, you've got to have your confidence. Don't get too arrogant with yourself, and I was always probably on that confidence line.
Right, and when you're winning them sort of trophies, and I'm just looking here, the people you've represented, so you've got honours, which hopefully you'll touch on as well. And is that something that did you just think it'd happen all the time, or did you understand that it takes a good graft to get there?
Yeah,
well, it did do it. It's not so hard now, is it?
Yeah, I think we had everything about it. It was probably a good question when you reflect and look back. I think it's having that good coaching set up and good players, and then it's having that will and desire to win. And it kind of, I remember after I left Sedgley and I went to Oral got relegated that year. We only won about two games. So I'd gone from winning everything and doing really well at Sedgley and going to Oral, and it was a real struggle. It was when Dave Whelan kind of just pulled his money out. Right. A lot of good young players. I mean, I was talking about it the other day to someone, a lot of what a really good young player. I think I was like third oldest in the team at 23 or something like that. Yeah, at the time. But like a lot of these players went on and did really good things.
Yeah.
But you look at it then, but I think that taught me a lot. And I think because I had a good season playing, even though it was in kind of a relegation season, that's where I moved on to Nottingham after that. And that's where probably the championship would have been, different things happened. Right. But I think, so I had that flip side. So I'd gone from winning everything to actually we're losing now most weeks. And it could be mentally tough. I remember going back to Sedgley. It was the Christmas Boxing Day game.
Yeah.
I remember getting beat off, and I remember just being like upset, like almost crying, tears in the showers afterwards, thinking, why have I left here? And I was like, I say, I was probably only 23, something like that. But
yeah, probably, to go from one extreme to the other as well.
Yeah. Young, isn't it? I think everything, it's like life, isn't it? It gives you curveballs, and you've got to, it's how you deal with it and learn from it. And then what kind of attitude you've got. You'll have people who are going to sit in a corner, and you have lads who are going to puff the chest up and get out there and do it, kind of thing. Yeah. So I probably had them flip sides.
Yeah.
But then to help me and teach me and push me on.
Right. So even when they went down, you got signed from a better team when they went down.
Yeah. Well, I ended up going to Nottingham.
Right.
And it was on this season. I used to have Rich Wilkes was the big agent. He's involved with Leicester Tigers now. He's actually sold the agency, but Wilkes, he had all the best players. And he, when I was at Sale, he was kind of looking after me. And when I went to Orally, I ended up going on asking for money, and he was going, "Oh, I can only give you this." And I'm going, "You're my agent." I said, "Like, can't you get me the best deal?"
Yeah.
So I ended up kind of just going on my own. And then there's a website called the Rolling Mall, and it used to cover all from the Championship down to National. It's still going. And I set up as someone called In The Know on there, and I just go on and give myself a write up.
Yeah, you've got to do what you've got to do, mate.
And I'll never forget. And when it was, I did that interview for the Rugby Paper not long ago. It was with John Newcombe, who was in charge of the Rugby Times at the time. Right. And I put something on this fan forum saying that Cornish Pirates and Plymouth was interested in me because I've had such a good season. Yeah. And I'd agreed. I met with Rotherham and a few other clubs, and I met with Simon Beaton, his name at Nottingham. And we played Oral, as it happened. Oral played Nottingham last game of the season, and we beat him. But he had my contract, and he said, "When everyone's having food, come and sign it on the bus afterwards." So I went onto the team bus, and he passed me the contract, and I said, "I don't think I can sign this, mate." I said, "Why?" I said, "Have you not read the rugby paper?" And in the rugby paper, they have an In The Loop. And it's just basically loads of rugby rumours. And it just said, highly rated second row Paul Arnold being linked with Cornish Pirates and Plymouth. And I said, "Have you not read it?" And he said to me, I've read it. I said, "Well, if you throw in a car and a 2 grand signing on fee, I'll sign it now." And he went, "Okay." And he wrote it in pen on the contract. So I was like, "Nah. Right, lads, we're out in town tonight. Yeah. Nexus is on me." So you do what you have to do, mate, don't you? So I did that back then, so that was quite a funny funny one. And then I did that interview, and John Newcombe, I seen him on Saturday at the Rock Game, John, and he said to me, "I don't know if I can put this in because that was my paper that he stitched it over there." And he did, to be fair, to be funny, he put it in. But yeah, so that they were good. That was good times. Nottingham was a good year. I only did 1 year there.
Yeah.
And then my ex-wife now, she got pregnant, and Moseley come in with like double my offer. And it was like a 3-year deal, house, car. So you kind of just knew it, knowing I was having a baby on the way. Made me go, right, I'm gonna have to go over there, kind of thing. So yeah, but Nottingham was a good year. We had some really good players.
Yeah.
And then I moved over to Birmingham Moseley, they're called now.
Yeah.
I did three years at Moseley, which was really good. We won the EDF Cup, beating Leeds, beat Exeter in the semi finals. So we had some really good players. We had a link with Gloucester. So we had like Dan Norton, Charlie Sharples, Henry Trinder, all these lads who went on and played for Gloucester for the last 10 years. Yeah, Jack Adams, who passed away the other year, he was an unbelievable player. We ended up beating Exeter in the semi-final, and they made it a double header. So
Exeter had a chance to get promoted. They should have been. They got promoted the season after, and obviously the rest is history now with them. But they were going to get. They was on to get promoted. It was between them and Leeds Tykes or Leeds Carnegies. They were not to get promoted, and we played them at Sandy Park early on in the year. And we got beat 80-5. Playing for Molesley, and I'll always remember because I scored the last try and I jumped up and said, "Last try winner, lads." Got beat 80-5. I scored in injury time. Last try winner, lads. Never mind. But we played them at our place, and because we had them in the cup and the league, they asked to do it as a double header.
Yeah,
and we beat them, turned them over. So they ended up losing the semi final, and then missing out on promotion by 2 points to Leeds. And they sacked their head coach the day after, and that's when Rob Baxter come in. And the rest of the history, it was all down to Molesley, really. That's why Exeter were Premiership champions and European Cup winners in the last 10 years. Yeah. So that was good. And then we played Leeds in the final and turned Leeds over as well. So, you know, they were good memories.
Gosh, mate. And are you someone that keeps like the stash in that, or is your dad got him or something like that? And
I did give a lot away, but I have in my other room got a few shirts up. So yeah, I've kept a few shirts, and my granddad passed away the other year, 90, you know, just short of 91 he was. He did a scrapbook for me from when I was 6 at Blackbrook.
Brilliant.
And he did it all the way till I finished. Yeah. So in my garage, there's like 5 scrapbooks full with everything. Wow. And yeah, every so often you just have a look in and you look back, and he's got all the county finals from Lancashire. He's got me playing for the Barbars. I played for England County. He's got all of it. So I used to just come up, when I'd come home on a weekend, I'd bring in the local papers. And he'd sit there and cut them all out and stick them in. That was like the highlight of his week, doing them all. And then it was only after he passed away. He got them all up the cupboard. And he had them all up there, yeah. So yeah. Brilliant. So I've still got all them, yeah. So they're good. Good. I think in lockdown I had a look through and posted quite a bit, found a lot of old match programs and different things. Yeah, it's good to look back.
No, it is, mate. And during your playing, I suppose I ask people, and I know your answer already, but did you ever look back and have a little reminisce just to remind yourself you've gone from playing in 2 elite clubs in St. Helens rugby league wise? You fell out with rugby altogether. You've come back in just because your mates asked you, not because you particularly were bothered.
Yeah.
And then you've got as bad as you've got. Did you ever get a chance to look back and think, you know what, I'm doing okay?
Yeah, I think it was one of them for me. I think I had 2 young kids. My ex-wife, as I said now, she, like, the money was important, so I always kind of did well out of it as well. And yeah, that's why I think I moved about a bit when I was younger until I was moved back to St. Helens. But yeah, you managed to look back and go, you know what, you've done all right. And I still think I still have that niggle in. Actually, if I would have tried that bit harder,
right,
done what people wanted me to do, I probably would have played Premiership and a bit more. So you always have that. Yeah, you've done hindsight.
All right. Plow, innit?
Yeah. Everything's hindsight's amazing, innit? But you can look back and go, yeah, I've done this, I've done that. But yeah, and I have loads of fond memories. Rugby's given me so much. It's kind of been my life for like 20-odd years.
Yeah. And how was it juggling all that with a young family, mate? And
well, yeah, that's fine.
Yourself as well, aren't you now? Well, you're
working
yourself, so.
Yeah, it's tough. So I've just announced that I'm leaving Preston at the end of the season. I've got my little boy, he'll be 16 this year. Yeah. So he's got like a disability that they don't know what it is. They've never been able to diagnose it. Okay. So he doesn't walk, doesn't talk, and we kind of do everything for him. So we've had all the house adapted. We've got wet rooms done, hoists in his room. And when I'm travelling over, like when I was at Fylde, and you're travelling from St. Helens over to Fylde, do you know what I mean? Or from where I am now over to Preston, it's just that little bit of time. It's just, he probably needs me a bit closer. And so we're looking good this year for promotion. It's all in our hands, which is, I think it's more of a formality than it's just making sure we get the points over the line. Yeah. So when they get promoted next year, Preston into the National 2 North, which will be with Sedgley, Fylde, and then you've got Leeds, Tykes, Rotherham, Hull, Tynedale. So then the travel then becomes more again. So I've made the decision to step down. But yeah, and that's, like I say, that's where I probably do reflect more now, when the messages were coming out, or your stats about coaching and people highlighting. So they're nice, they're good. So I'm not, but yeah. You might be seeing me next year, mate, at West Park, so don't worry.
But the thing is, you're saying a little bit of travelling. What your players will partly understand, because there's more to coaching than your Tuesday night on the field, yeah. your Thursday night on the field. It dictates your weekend.
Yeah,
it dictates your week really, because you're thinking about who you're playing. You're thinking about who you've got available, whether you've got suspensions, yeah. injuries, unavailabilities for girlfriends, meals and stuff. Yeah. but it is. It dictates.
Yeah, it does. Mate, it's not just like people just think you rock up at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday and a Thursday and rock up on a Saturday. You're not. You're watching videos in the week, what you can do better. You've got analysis of the opposition to watch. You're making your notes. You're speaking to your physios. You're speaking to your director of rugby, making sure you're speaking to them, the players, to see if they are available or they got childcare issues at the weekend or if they've got to work. Yeah. Because so then you're constantly doing stuff and planning. And it takes up way more time than you think, if you know what I mean. We still love it, don't we? That's how we do it.
And it's important that all them people you're touching on, that clubs like the Wids don't need to worry about.
Yeah.
But that, like, the clubs you've been around and in them sort of leagues, it's important your relationships are good with them people, isn't it? Because it doesn't work if one of you doesn't.
No, you've got to have. I've always said you've got to be honest in everything you do. So that you need to have that honest and working relationship with people where you can work around things and sort stuff out. So if lads aren't available for certain things, you need to know in advance, you need to know early. And I imagine though at the Wids, mate, when you've got lads there, it can be frustrating if they're not turning up for training or suddenly not available but it's different. It's different constraints kind of thing, because the lads at Preston and the other teams we've met, they've been getting paid.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
still their job. So you kind of can still have a bit of a say. Yeah. I remember Andy Nordy told me a belter. And he said to me, if a kid knocked on your door and he said to me, I want to wash your car for free, and he washed it and he did a shit job, you can't really tell him off because he's just washed your car for free. He said, but if that kid knocks on your door and says, give us a tenner and I'll wash your car and he does a shit job, then you're going to tell him off. Hey, you've done a shit job. Are you not? And that's the same with rugby players. If you're coaching a level where none of them get played, do you know what I mean? You can't be too overcritical, I don't think. Because they're rocking up, they're giving up their time, they're not getting anything for it. Yeah. So you've kind of imagine you've got to have that give and take. Where if you're paying lads to do it, well, then there's a responsibility on them to make sure that they're doing it right and doing everything they can to do that.
That's fair enough, mate. So what come next then after Birmingham and Moresley? And when did all this rep stuff kick in for you? When did you feel established?
So my first, I was talking to Mark Nelson the other day on BBC Lancashire, and we were talking about it'd be 20 odd years since my first, 21 years I think since I first played for the county for Lancashire. Right. So I think I'd just turned 21. Okay. I got picked for Lancashire in the county championship, and then Mark Nelson took over, and that's when we went on this amazing run with Lancashire, winning the most county championships out of all the counties. And yeah, from there, I went on to play for England counties, and I went on like 5-6 different tours of them to some unbelievable places. Argentina, Canada, Romania, playing against their national sides. So I remember being, I was 22 in Canada, in Romania, playing against the Romanian national team. So like they were good times, and with some great players as well. So I did that for, I went on 5 tours in England counties. So that was good. I think I got pissed in a bar one night and stood probably naked at the end of it, and they said I couldn't play anymore. So, well, you know, you live and learn. I ended up going back coaching them after that. Yeah. So not all was lost. So, yeah, I suppose there is some bad things you look back and go,
all part of it, mate, innit? They're the memories it's about, innit? And
which one was it? Never been naked in a bar. Come on, it must happen every night at the Wids, that.
No comment. So how does the England County stuff come about, mate? What's the process of that?
So at the end of every season, if you've been good enough, you'll get selected for your county. And then they play in the county championship at the end of the season. So then they'll have England County's coaches watching all the counties. And then you get selected from there to go on tour. So, yeah, so it's kind of a good process and a big process. So there's a lot of players, if you know what I mean, are in that mix. So yeah, well, it was a great experience then. And like I say, went to some great places, played with some great players.
And rugby's really good for it. But what were you like in a new changing room, mate? Was you settling pretty quickly, or?
Yeah, I was probably a bit of a joker, to be honest. I'd be one of them players now who, as a coach now, I would have hated me. No, absolutely. I see it with some of the lads now who I get frustrated with, and I'm like, oh God, imagine trying to coach me back then. So I've got some great respect for the guys who coached me. But yeah, I was probably a bit of a joker, you know. Right. But yeah.
And how long into your playing career did coaching become an idea for you?
I think when I moved back from Molesley, I was 29, I think it was. And I had 1 year at Caldy. Right. Caldy are flying at the minute now. They're looking like they're going to get brought to the championship.
Right.
That's another good story. A guy called James Brown rocked up for a new fellow with a name like James Brown. he come to Molesley and he basically said he was a football investor. He worked for footballers and he invested their money into property. And he come and met me with the coach, Matt Holt. And we sat there and he said, what's your priority now? And I said, well, I need to move back home. I've got two kids now. I need more family support. I said, but rugby's important. And he said, no problem. And he offered this ridiculous. It was like, it would have been about 35 grand to do Tuesday, Thursdays and Saturdays. And I was like, this is too good to be true. Anyway, there's about 10 of us signed. This Stu Turner, the old England prop, signed. Richard Vase, who's still there. He was at Molesley with me. He come down. Gaz Rawlins, a second row, played Lancashire with. We all ended up going to Caldy. And then after about 2 months, it just turned out he just made it all up. he was just a Walter Mitty. He made everything up. There was no money.
Yeah.
And he'd not told the club. So the club kind of had, the club and the coach, Matt, they didn't have much of an idea. But he'd fully winged it with Matt, who was the coach as well. He'd took him to a deal, like for £1 million land sale. So Matt was like, he's real. I've just seen him sign this Landover for this guy. And when this guy kind of just disappeared. And when he disappeared, I remember Matt going into the offices going, who's that? And he went, oh, it's just our Joey who gets all our paperwork signed. So he fully did everyone over. Like we all had these contacts with this investment group thing, and it was on the company's house, and there was money in it. You could go on. He'd done it all. He proper had a load of us. So a lot of lads ended up leaving. I nearly ended up having to go back to the championship because of the money. So I nearly signed for Cornish Pirates. So I would have had to move down there and leave my kids up here. But luckily in the end, Caldy looked after me quite well, and I think I still have the record for 27 tries in 28 games for him that season. So I did all right for him. Yeah. And then after that season, I went to Fylde.
Right.
And that's when I wanted to start coaching well. So when I signed for Fylde, it was when they'd signed Jason Robinson.
Yeah.
Come out. So Jason Robinson went there and Brian Ashton. And a few of us went in. And we had a great team. You know, we had a really good team and we got promoted. And yeah, I had 7 really good years at Fylde. Just a great club, great people. Really looked after me until I left for Preston, and that's like leaving for United for City kind of thing. So I upset a few then, but I think none of them will ever doubt what I did for him on the pitch and off the pitch. So yeah, so some really good memories there. And that's when I started coaching. I got involved with Lancashire under 20s.
Yeah.
So I was 30 years old, and that's when I started. And that's when I got in touch with Scott Barrow, who had played junior rugby with.
Yeah.
So Scott's got a couple of Super League rings when he was at Saints.
Right.
And then he went playing Union, so he went playing in Glasgow for years, and then for Glasgow Warriors. And he's the backs coach now. He's the head coach at Sedgley Park, but he's doing he's working at Wasps as well, heavily involved with Wasps. So I got involved with Scott. Scott was playing for Leeds at the time. Mm. Really, it was a bit of a plan to try and get him back to Fylde when his full time career was. Yeah, so me and him did the Lancashire under 20s, and we did 2 seasons. I think we lost one game, and that's where the buzz really started then for the coaching. And I took over as like forwards coach, running the line outs, the scrums and stuff like that outfield, and that's how I started into it. But like I said, we had Mark Nelson there. There was another guy called Brian Gornall who was outstanding, and then you had Brian Ashton, the ex-England coach. And Brian, just his philosophy and how he just played TNP. Just played touch rugby all the time. All the training had a focus in it. So it'd be like 3 second rucks. You'd have, right, we want to work on our kick chase. So you'd have 2 phases kick and then he attacked. So we were learning how to play. But to us, especially when you're in that full-time environment, it's kind of like Groundhog Day. You split up as forwards and backs. You'll smack each, you'll knock 10 bells out of each other. There'll be loads of contact, loads of rucking drills, loads of tackling. And then you might come together for like 20 minutes at the end of a session and work together. That's how it used to be.
Yeah.
This was like, we were just turning up playing touch rugby. All session, we were like, this is amazing. I can't believe you can coach like this. And I always remember him saying to me, Arnie, you run the lineups, don't you? And I was like, yeah. I said, I need a 5-man lineup. I said, no problem, Brian. He went, yeah, but I want you stood at 12. I said, what? He said, I want you stood at 12. He said, because I can see you play and I want you offloading to the fast lads. I said, where have you been all my life, Brian? Get me at 12. Get me at 12. when some clubs you played at, they didn't like you offloading or carrying, you know what I mean? They wanted you to just hit rucks, scrummage, win your lineouts. Well, then suddenly you had this guy just thinking completely outside the box.
Yeah, like a free roll.
Yeah, and he that's how we played. He always said he wanted File to be like File Kingston Rovers, they used to call him. He said like 1950s rugby league where there wasn't six tackles involved and you just kept it from one end of the pitch to the other. And that's what we did. We never kicked a ball. Right. We just ran it from our own line. But we had Nick Royal on one wing, Ollie Brennan on the other wing, and Jason Robinson at fullback. So you could probably run it. You could run it from your own. You could run it from behind your own post, literally. And some of the rugby we played that year was just like a different level. I think remember looking at the stats for getting promoted, and I think we kicked something like 12 penalties all season. Remember that? When you think about now, teams are kicking 200 penalties a season.
Yeah.
Just because we just always went for the 4-try bonus point and just ran it from everywhere. And that kind of then went in. That was kind of how I wanted to play rugby all along. That offloading, fast pace. So, yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah. So do you think if you'd have had someone like that earlier on, mate, like, I know we were on about hindsight before, but the domestic scene definitely would have been your oyster sort of thing, wouldn't it? If you were allowed to be you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that, and I think... I know Mark Nelson has said before, he said, in a different regime and a different times, it would have been a lot different. Do you know what I mean? To do that. But back then it wasn't, was it? There wasn't as much flamboyancy and it was very much kick the ball and clap, as my mates will say.
My mates will say the same.
It's very, very much a lot of that.
The Lancashire coaching then, mate, how did that come into force? Did you impress it, filed?
I think Mark Nelson, again, he's involved coaching the Lancashire setup and has been for a while. And you get to know, I've played for Lancashire for 10 years now at this stage. And then they said, why don't you get involved coaching the under-20s? And that was a nice step into it. Yeah. And I did that for a couple of years. And then I got involved coaching with the county setup as well while I was still playing. And then after about... What was it? Well, I was, I think, about 34. Mark Nelson was stepping down and Fylde said to me they wanted me to take over. So hindsight again, wonderful. I remember Sedgley Park offered me the job as a player coach. And I remember thinking, I'm 34 now, I've probably got a few years left of playing and coaching and obviously making as much as you can by combining two roles. So, and I remember Sedgley coming in for me and offering it me. And then Fylde got in touch and said, no, we want you to take over. And I was very reluctant at first because Nelly had done a lot for me and I felt like I was probably stabbing him in the back. But I spoke to him about it and Bill Beaumont was involved at Fylde, that's his club. Yeah. So when you've got Bill Beaumont phoning you up saying, why would you want to leave this club? Mark's leaving anyway, it's nothing to do with you. I think as a young, 34, and I weren't young, but I was like, yeah, this is Bill Beaumont, he was chairman of England rugby at the time, chairman of World Rugby now. So I ended up taking over, and I think I did all right. We did well. But that's where I think that's helped me though. When I talked about before, the relationships of especially dealing with people and dealing with players, who obviously that man management style. That's where I learned a lot, because I don't think if I went to another club ever again, I'd have the same man management issues as I did when you took over there. So, like I said, you're going from being best mates, so you're not playing, or you're best mates with someone, and then you're critiquing what you want them to do, and they're going, why are you speaking to me like that?
Yeah.
Like I say, that's one of them where you learnt a lot.
Right. So, look, you prefer probably like a clean break, maybe not.
I think hindsight, I should have probably gone to Central.
Right.
Like, okay. But then it's one of them, isn't it? I might not have learnt all the things I learnt.
Correct.
Especially China. I think I'm a decent person now at my management, and I know how to speak to lads. And probably the lad, like I said the other week when I announced I was leaving, I said, the lads who I wasn't picking regularly, they probably made up I'm leaving. It's because nobody's ever liked to coach who doesn't pick them. So that was another bit of advice Brian Ashton said when I spoke to him about taking over. I said, have you got any advice? He went, yeah, just get used to not being liked. Because not everyone's going to like you.
Yeah.
And I think for me as well, that was probably a challenge because I always like being liked. You always want to make people happy and you always want to do your best. And so then suddenly you've gone from, actually, you don't like me anymore. Well, I thought we were mates. So you have to learn a lot. It sounds probably a bit childish at times, but
right. No one wants to be disliked, did he?
Yeah. So that was, but I think, like I said, I learned a lot doing that.
So at the back end of your career, mate, did your game change much, or was you still stick to you?
Yeah, I probably turned into what I was talking about earlier. I probably turned into Morgan Knowles without knowing. I probably did a few cabbies, then walk for 2 minutes, and then get a few more. I always remember Chris Johnson, who's at Sale FC now, saying to me, "Just give me a good 20 minutes today," because he said that's all I did in 80, just a really quality 20, and that was enough for him. So yeah, probably tailed off a bit. And I think when I started player coaching, that was a big shot because you end up getting lost in the moment. You end up watching everybody else. And I remember Jack Adams, I was talking about the good rest of his show. I remember playing Cinderford away and I was watching the lads going, right, hit that rock, you hit that. And then the next minute I was one-on-one in a 10-metre channel. He just did me in and out and scored in the corner. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing on this side of the pitch? Because I just end up watching. So that made me then learn and change then to make sure you had to have good trust. I think the best player coaches really are like your fly arse because they can control the game. I think China, I don't think there's any decent player coaches who've probably come from the second row or in the front row because you have to try and make sure you're just concentrating on your job. So then that was like when I took over at Preston, I was still player coaches. Just make sure you had somebody on the sidelines who could see and think how you wanted to think and let you know when there was a water break. Actually, we might have needed a sub here or we need to do this. Because if you get invested in watching the game, you're not playing in it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No way.
So there's a lot of challenges when you play coaching you don't think about. You just think, oh, I'm a decent player, I'm a decent coach, I'll be fine doing both. But it's so hard.
So how long was you at Preston for?
So I was at Fylde 7 years. This was my fifth season now at Preston, but we had a COVID year.
Yeah. So did you have the back line of Longy, Holroyd,
Kurt? No, they were before me.
Was Steve?
Yeah, they were before me, yeah.
So have you come in when a transition was sort of in?
So Fylde was in National 1, so the third division, so level 3. And where we finished, I think we finished 10th the season. And I asked them for investments into players. So we were playing it. Coventry was in our league, and we beat them twice. And Coventry's budget was £1.5 million. My budget was 120 grand.
Okay.
And when I talked about when we had the Brian Ashton and the Mark Nelsons and myself as a player coach, and we had the really good team of players. I say, with your Nicky Royals, your Scott Barrows, the Braes brothers, we had a really good side. We were finishing top 3. Mm-hmm. So the budget, but our budget was probably like 100 grand. You had lads on just 100 grand a game. But you were playing these teams. You were playing the teams down south, like your Roslyn Parks and your Richmonds. We were paying big money. And then you've got your Coventry's throwing out after, like playing full time. Doncaster was in our league. They were full-time. And we was always like the top 5. And then when I kind of took over, that's when a lot of lads had started retiring.
Yeah.
So then suddenly you had to bring all these youngsters through, which they've got a really good young side now. And a lot of them I coached the England Counties under 20s. And a lot of them made it onto that tour as well. Okay. And they've got a good young side, but it was getting harder and harder to try and compete with these teams because the quality of all the older players, when they'd retired. You're bringing all new young players through. So I asked them to invest in some players, and I had a really good player called Jack Turley, a Kiwi guy. One of the guys at Fylde had given him a job. And I said, look, I said, I need some investment. I said, you invested in me when I come. I said, I need like invest in another older head like myself. And I said, and I want to build a team around Jack. I said, he's a great player. And the guy went, just going to be cutting your budget another 20 grand. And I've just told Jack he's not available he's not got a job next season. So I was like, there's a proper emoji. Like, oh, Jesus. And then I went out and I was like, I can't stay. I said, we're going to get relegated. I was like, I can't stay. I love the club, but also as a young coach, which that might sound selfish, I was like, I don't want to have a relegation on me CV. I was like, and no matter, you could have had Eddie Jones in the, do you know what I mean? You could have had anyone. The players were good players, but they was all 21. It was a bit like that Oral season. Yeah. I could see that happening. These players really developing and learning, but it was going to be a tough season.
He just said it and acted on it, though,
innit? Yeah, so I spoke to the club and then I kind of said I was leaving. And like I said, the travel, the little lad, everything else. And then I thought, I'll just see what happens. So basically said I was leaving and Preston got in touch. And Preston had just got relegated from National 2.
Yeah.
So there was two leagues separate from what Fylde was. And I thought to myself, yeah, I could go in there, met the people, really good people. And they had a good vision for the club. And I thought, I could go in here and get a promotion.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And that's what happened. We went in, we got promoted, Fylde got relegated. So second game of the season was Preston v Fylde the year after. So, yeah, so I think I made the right choice at the time, yeah. So, but that was one of the reasons behind it, which was kind of tough to leave a club that I'd had so much success at and enjoyed.
Yeah.
But then going to Preston was also a good move for me as in the coaching. I'd gone from being everyone's best friends to suddenly I could coach how I want to coach. They don't know how to take me as such. It's tough when you know, it's like yourself as a player when you're having a laugh and a joke and a crack with lads all the time, and then suddenly you're the boss. I can't sit at the back of the bus anymore. I'm going to sit at the front. It's like a bit of a killer. But I still had a good relationship with a lot of the players and stuff. But yeah, but Preston was a good move for me.
Right. So obviously you've called time on that now, mate. So what does the future hold for you?
I've told you, mate, I think I'm going about West Park.
Yeah, are you going to give that a go, yeah?
Yeah, I spoke to them the other day and they've asked me if I want to be, it's like a mile and a half from my house.
Happy days.
I was looking at some of the fixtures. So I've not agreed anything as much with them, but I've had quite a few clubs like send me messages and say, right, I know you're stopping down from the National Leagues, but would you come and coach us? And I've said, if I was going to go anywhere, I'd go back to West Park. I think it'd be a nice way to full circle from where I started my senior rugby.
Oh, it is definitely, yeah.
To going back and helping them. And I went watching them last week to see what they were like over at Alwynians, and they've got a good, like, a very young side.
Yeah.
So, and Bobby Fassavalau, which I thought was hilarious.
I couldn't believe
that. His lad played in the second row. His lad was like 17, I think, in the second row. But he had to come on after the first minute, and it was like playing with the cheat mode. Like, do you remember John Alomu when you used to have the massive John Alomu?
Yeah.
He'd come off the bench and he was brilliant. He just marshalled the team, and then when he had to, he carried. When he had to, he made a big tackle. He stood on the wing, got organising. He was just like a puppeteer. I thought, how good's that for that? Yeah, for them young lads coming from St. Helens to have Fassavalau out there. So I had a chat with him the other day about going, and yeah, if I'm going to go anywhere. I think it's 90% done that.
Good luck with that, though, mate.
So it's got you boys in there, Tock H, isn't it?
They've won the league now, haven't they? That time of the chat, mate, when I get some daft questions at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so any pre-match superstitions?
Not really. My nan gave me a St. Christopher. I used to keep it in my gun shield box. I'd make sure I held that before I played.
Yeah.
It was always kind of looking over me, kind of thing. That was my little superstition that I'd make sure I did, nothing else.
Yeah. So, toughest player you've played with and against?
Yeah, it's a tough one, this. I was thinking about it. I think Tim Ferry, when I talked about at Sedgley Park, Tim was a tough South African. He played in the 95 Rugby League World Cup for South Africa over here. And then he ended up staying and playing for Leeds. And he played for Leeds, but he was so tough. And when I talked about him saying, if you hit people, I'll pick you.
Yeah.
And he used to threaten to knock me out every training session. Arnie, I take you in the dark and only one of us comes out. That's what he used to say when I was probably messing about in training when I shouldn't have been. But he's actually a good friend. I still speak to him. And yeah. I think we had a lot of, he'd give me a lot of advice over the years. But yeah, he was hard. He was really hard.
Yeah, I'm
play against, I think, remember Darren Fox was the old Northampton back rower, 7, and he went to Exeter. He was like granite. And like, if he ever hit you, even with his shoulders on a tackle, you were like, you knew you'd been hit.
Yeah.
And like, he was just one of them menacing ones where if I saw an head, I wouldn't mind giving it a slap all my way through. But if I saw his head, I'd probably just go, it's not worth it, this one. We'll leave it. I'll let the other one behind him. Because he just looked that menacing as well. And he was still playing for Cambridge not that long ago.
Right.
But he was an absolute unit as well, with a proper nose. And again, there was a back row I played with Dave Wilkes, who coaches the Leicester Academy now. He was hard, but in a different way of hard. He'd put his head where I would have put my boots.
Yeah.
He'd come off the pitch, and back then when you could shoe someone to death, do you know what I mean? He'd come off looking like a tiger with just that much shoeing all over him and black eyes and stuff. He was just an hard player to play with. He was brilliant on your side. I played with him at Oral and Nottingham, and he was good.
But your favourite away ground?
I always like going to Bedford.
Yeah.
I always played well there. But I always quite intense. They get like 3,000-4,000 probably.
Oh, right.
And it's quite a good ground. And it was always vocal, and it was always up there in the Championship. The top of it, they still are, to be fair. And then obviously we're playing at Twickenham when we played for the county finals and stuff like that. But that was a good away ground to go to.
Yeah.
Bedford.
So you've had a few with the fellas, mate, and you've ended up in whatever pub has a karaoke going on and the mic's in your hand. What are you giving us?
Oh, call me Al, Paul Simon. Oh. I'd rock out, yeah. I'd rock about a bit. And for the 26-second intro, I'd probably be doing the music as well. I'd be getting it all going. I'd be Chevy Chase for 30 seconds, definitely. But yeah, call me Al's my go-to.
Yeah. So if you can, mate, your 1 to 15 that you've played with or coached.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I've kind of gone with probably played against more than played with. I think the Northampton Pop Tonga were you?
Yeah.
He's still doing a shift now, playing for Ampthill in the Championship.
Yeah.
He was just an absolute monster. I've touched wood. I managed to get through my career without many bad injuries. And I did my MCL, so my medial ligament just on my outside. Yeah. And I was getting up for a ruck and he was taking a short pop off 9. And I tried to like Tommy Martin Cumberland throw him.
Yeah.
And he just snapped me like, absolutely. I was like, oh. he ruptured my median. He was just a big lad. Yeah. And then there was a prop called Nathan Williams I played with at Molesley, Welsh lad. He was good. He was like, I used to train in him with the gym in the morning when we did our gym sessions. He was like, he'd be benching 180, like just strong as anything. I used to always say, it's only because them props have got massive chests and little arms, haven't they? You know what I mean? He's just like this, knocking them out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't lift that much, mate. My arms are too big. It's just because I was weak as shit to him. Like,
yeah.
He was massive. Yeah. And then if I went on to hooker, I'd probably go with Alex Loney, who's coaching at Fylde now. We played for Lancashire together. For many years, and he's just a good lad, but unbelievable scrummager, brilliant arrows in the line out. He'd always find me when I was calling the line outs, and we played at Nottingham together when he was a young lad and lived together.
So
that was another one again, that file circle. We played together, lived together when we were younger, and then he moved back to the area. We were playing at file together, and he's coaching up at file now.
Right.
So he was good. And then probably the other prop I played with, there was Barrington, who plays for. He plays for Saracens.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen Bazza when Saracens have won he's the one who does his remix in the changing rooms.
Yeah.
I played for the Bar Bars with him, and he was only young then, but he was just a good lad. But then the special mention for Terry Sigley. So Terry Sigley played at Molesley with him, and he played for about 8 Premiership clubs, so he kind of went Gloucester, Bath, Sale, moved around.
Right.
But the night we beat Leeds in that EDF Cup final, they went down for the first scrum And the Leeds lads went, fucking hell, how many did you have last night? He had about 12 pints and got man a match. the night before the EDF Cup final at Twickenham, he was absolutely bladdered. Him and the hooker, both of them. Also, I was like, oh, but he was some boy. He was some player. And then I probably went to the second row. I think I went with a Toji who had played against. It's quite a good, a nice one. We played against him when he was on loan at Old Albanians against Fylde.
Right.
And I ran over him and scored. Short ball out, ran straight over him and scored and gave him a load of verbals. He was England under 20s captain at the time.
Okay.
On the halfway line, there was a scrum. And I said to him, I said, you're shit. I said, under 20s captain. I said, I'm betting you, I'm 34. I said, you're rubbish. And Scott Barrow came walking over to me and he went, yeah, but you weren't as good as him when you were 19, were you? I went, no, fair play, mate. You're going to be a good player, you. Keep your head down, you'll be all right. But he was an absolute specimen then.
Yeah.
See how good he is now. He's probably up there. He's one of the best players still in the world. He's great downward watching the Saracens highlights again. He was unbelievable. But yeah, he was about 19, and I was giving him a load of verbals. And then Scott brought me down to earth straight away. So that was good. And then in the second row, when I played at Sedgwick Park, I played with a guy called Eric Lund, who went on and played at the Ritz. And he was a specimen as well. So Eric, probably me and Eric, if you probably were going to pick the two, I was the one probably scoring the tries, and he was the one doing all the legwork. But he's the one who went on and had the best. He had a really good Premiership career with Leeds and Rotherham, and then went over to Biarritz. And his brother was Magnus Lund, who played for Sale in England. Yeah. So I played at Sale with Magnus. But Eric was, he was 6'8", the Viking. He had auditions for the WWF.
Did he?
So then, yeah, he nearly got in. Yeah. It was Eric the Viking. Yeah. It was Magnus,
he was that. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but like, yeah, he's good. He was a nice, and a good player as well. Good player. Yeah. He was in my first county final as well. And our first one, it was me and him in the row. So, yeah, so there's some good times with him. I think back row was, going against, as you were talking about, probably Moriarty, when we played against him as a youngster. So you had some good lads coming at Hartbury College where they all had the Gloucester Licks. And Moriarty, I'll be watching playing for Wales. I think he scored like a hat-trick in the first half against us. And we had like a good old head side. And he was just carrying like a machine. And he would have only been 20 then. And you kind of thought, well, this lad's a bit special.
Yeah.
And then we've kept it Welsh with the seven, and I played Barbarians with Josh Navidi.
Yeah.
And I remember him rocking up, and when we played for the Barbars, we were like, yeah, let's get on the lash. And this lad was professional as anything. He'd just had about 10 games for Cardiff Blues. And he was dead good. And we can probably kind of give him a bit of grief for being soft. But wow, what a player. In the game we played. I played against the combined services, so it was a lot of the Fijian team as well playing, and he was everywhere. He was unbelievable. So I'll probably give him at seven with a special mention for Dave Wilkes. I was on him up before from the Hardman. Again, Wilkes, he just put his head where our boots and tackled everything. And then number eight, I went with Dan Ward-Smith, the ex-England eight. I played against him an awful lot, and he was, again, just a physical specimen. One of his legs was like the size of both of mine together, and he was unlucky. He went to Bristol. He was playing for Plymouth. Bristol signed him in the Premiership, but Leicester Tigers and a few others wanted him. But at the time, Plymouth were paying that much money. Yeah, he was on mega money down in Plymouth, and would have taken a risk, because a Premiership club wouldn't take that much of a risk on him because he was from the league below.
Right.
Bristol ended up taking him, and then I think he had 10 caps for England before he ruptured all his knee ligaments and had to retire. But as a player, I think if he would have stayed fit, he would have been one of them you were talking about for having so many caps.
Right.
He was that good. And then, yeah, nines have been lucky. I played on the England Counties tours with Sean Perry, the England scrum half. He weren't just a great player. Again, when you talk about that pathway of the late developers, the England Counties was so good for that. You had people like Sean Perry on it, Ben Foden was on it. James Rodwell, the England Sevens, was at Molesey with us as well. You had all these lads coming through this pathway. Dave Strettle. So these lads all played for the England County. And he was just a great bloke, Sean Perry. We got on well, but he was one hell of a player. And he went on to earn 50-odd caps or something like that for England. And then with the Rich Wigglesworth as well, another one. He's obviously like all-time. He was at Sale when I was there. He was great. And then just jumping in here, but that Harry Randall who's playing now for England.
Yeah.
Again, we played Hartbury. It was when I was player coaching for Fylde. and he was warming up at the sidelines, and I went, we were winning. Hartbury was going to win the league, but we were winning something like 21-15 with about 15 minutes to go. And I just saw this little lad warming up, and he just looked like he'd come out of primary school. The shirt was like 10 times too big, and I was like, go on, bring this kid on. What's he going to do? Four tries later in 20 minutes, and we lost. And I remember going, wow, what? Who is this kid? What?
Yeah.
And then now you see him ripping it up.
Yeah,
from Boston, yeah, right from Boston to Bristol, and he's got I remember that. He must have been 19, but he looked like he was 12. On this, yeah, this massive shirt on at the sidelines. And yeah, like I said, four tries in 20 minutes. So we ended up losing, but he's special. I think the tens, I think some of the best tens I played with, probably I played with a lad called Rich Kenyon at Fylde, who was outstanding. He owns a nice cheese factory, Julie Cheese, and give him a shout out. But RK was a really good special player. And I think when you were playing against, I remember Riles probably mentioned it as well, you had Carlos Spencer was playing for Northampton against us, and he was good. But probably Andrew Mertens, when he was at Harlequins, and he just kicked the ball off everything, and you just couldn't get any build up. Anytime you got close, they get it, and he just stick you back on your own line as I play from there. And he just gave me like a mastermind. Obviously played for the All Blacks, didn't he, and everything else. So you weren't a bad one. So yeah, so then if I went to the wings, I probably put Dave Strettle on one wing, Saracens, Harlequins, and local Warrington lad. He was phenomenal. Again, another late bloomer, played a lot of his rugby in the championship before he went to Harlequins and that. And then obviously he had many caps as well for England and went on at Clermont in France and done it there. And he was some player. And then you're probably going to put Nicky Royle up there. When I was at Fylde, and he's still doing it now, Royal. He's 35, and he was at Widnes, weren't he, in Warrington at Rugby League. And he played at Fylde with us, and he was outstanding, really good. And then they were going into the centres. I'd probably go with Scott Barry again. So Scott, like I say, he played for Saints. He got so many games for Saints, then went to Union. But Scott probably didn't lack pace. He lacked a bit of pace, but he was, even when we were kids, but he was always like 5 seconds quicker than everyone else in the head.
He just knew.
We take the mick out of him all the time with his slow and goals. That's all he's called. We always another slow and goal. But he had so much vision, and he's so skillful and brave tackle. Yeah, like I say, he's having a great coaching career. He's doing really well with Sedgley Park now and doing well at Wasps. And I'd say Scott probably at 12. At 13, I'd go Chris Wiles. He was at Saracens in the USA. I played with him at Nottingham. He was calling the gift because it was like anything he did. He was just like a gift. He was that good. And then he had a good, great season at Nottingham, and that's when he went to Saracens after that.
Right.
He probably won everything. I think he owns that Wolfpack Lager now.
Yeah.
That's one of his companies. But yeah, he was a player. Yeah, so skillful. And quick, strong, brave. He was really good to play along that season. Right, and then who was going to go? Well, I'll have to go Jason Robinson at fullback, won't I?
Of course.
So, yeah, at Fylde, we had that season together, and yeah, he still had it. He was like 34. But the things some of it did. And again, when you talk about at the start of it, about what did you learn, what did you change? I can always remember one game. We were playing Westo. I think we was top. Westo were like second. But we'd almost sewn the league up. And we were beating Westo by 80 points. And from the kickoff, they got it and went full length. And from nowhere, he'd sprinted 70 yards across the pitch and smashed this lad into touch on the corner flag. And half of us had stopped. So we were like, it's 18-0, it's last play. But that was that mentality, you know, that extra level mentality. But that makes you win a World Cup mentality.
That
was that level, that where he was like, no one's scoring.
Yeah.
Which is kind of good at the minute, because I probably took that to my defence with Preston when I'm coaching. Our last three games, we've not conceded a point. So that's a record. Three clean sheets in rugby.
I'll say it's something from it.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I was trying to ask the question today. I was like, three clean sheets in rugby. So yeah, I think The last three games is 274-0.
Yeah, you had all the points. Was that on Twitter? That
yeah.
Seen that, yeah.
So yeah, so I'm really stickler on the defence now, and I'll coach the defence, and it's that mindset. And I've managed to look. You need the lads to do it.
Yeah,
I've managed to drill that mindset into them. That actually, lads, no one scores, no matter what. And even like you say, that they're pulling the tripe out on the line when you're winning by 60 points. And I'm not bothered about the 60 points. I'm just saying I want a nil.
Yeah.
I enjoy a nil more than I do winning by so much, because I think, and the lads have got that work rate and desire for each other to keep teams out. I think that's probably one of the best ones. So yeah, that it's having that desire. Yeah. Sure, I'm not. They don't have me down as the
punching
machine. The Wells Fall Arnold.
Oh yeah, that's mad, isn't it?
I remember playing against Northampton. I remember looking in the programme and I had the asterisk next to my name for international. Going up the other month, and they had my date of birth in 1963 or something. Like, what's going on? And then I went to I got a job coaching in a private school, and as I walked in, there's these cleaners, and they went, "God, you look great, you're 54 or 54 42 and they're going, "That's what it says on the internet." So when I googled it, it's my picture that comes up for his name, and it's some of my stuff on his Wikipedia.
Is it?
So they just, I'm like, I don't know why it's my picture.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's my picture and his like date of birth and stats playing for Wales. And I think he played for Swansea at their grounds at St. Helens in Wales.
Yeah.
So I don't know if people have gone Paul Arnold, St. Helens. And that helped, did that help for Heroes? And they said on that help for Heroes, it was, you know, Ryan Lamb, who played
for Boston.
His dad, Alan Lamb, organised that help for Heroes. And he said to me, "Arnie, you're captain." I said, "I'm captain." We had like all these internationals playing, like all these lads from Gloucester and all this playing in this like belt for him. He went, "Yeah, they'll think you're the Welsh Paul Arnold, so can you just go with it?" And I went, "Tell me, I'll go with it. I was on like Granada reports in Hull. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Like, I'm not bothered, we'll go with it, mate. We'll go with it.
Just a quick reminder that Boydell Sports are our sponsors here at Trot the Egg In. So if you go down to their flagship store in West Bank and quote Trot the Egg In, you'll get a free stud and a 1% discount. You've been listening to Trot the Egg In. Thanks to our sponsors, Boydell Sports. Follow us on Twitter at Trot the Egg In and Instagram at Trot_the_egg_in.